Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Bradley Buckles, Director, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Well, in this second segment, let's talk about ATF, and I'm curious, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen at ATF since you started?
Well, it's hard to know where to start. When I arrived at ATF in 1974, it had only been an agency for 2 years. Prior to that, it had been a division in the Internal Revenue Service. And as a two-year-old agency, it was still an agency searching for exactly what it was supposed to be, what its mission was. And it had a lot of people who had worked at ATF during days when moonshine liquor was the highest priority of the Bureau, going back into the 50s, when that was a very big part of what ATF did. And the transition of moving from a focus on alcohol issues to having greater and greater demands on the firearms area and the explosives area. And then on top of that, being a bureau that was kind of set adrift from the Internal Revenue Service, it was quite a challenge to figure out how to pull all that together into a cohesive fashion. And what I saw over the years, I once used the analogy of a child growing up that is part of an agency and trying to be able to know where we're going. You have to have a sense of your past. And there was so much of ATF that was new at the time. We were trying to learn what we were without really having a past to work from. Firearms laws were new, explosives laws were new, and it took quite a while for us to have our real sense of our mission and what we needed to be doing, and for that to start to gel. Again, using the analogy of a person, which I've used a couple times in different speeches, if you think about when we started the strategic planning mold. It would have been when the agency was about in its early 20s. And just like people, sometimes you get through those early times of groping, not sure what you want to be and how you ought to get there. And by the time you're in your 20s, it's when you really start having a sense of what you want to be in life. Well, as an agency, that was a period of time when I think we were able to gel, to suddenly have an idea on a vision for what we wanted to be, a vision for how we were going to use the laws that we had under our jurisdiction to accomplish important public policy goals. And so that's kind of what I saw with ATF, was a growing posture where we were making mistakes, sometimes going in wrong directions, learning from those mistakes and going in another direction, until finally it all began to come together, I think, just 5 or 6 years ago.
And I was going to ask about the management challenges the agency faced when its mission began to expand or get other emphasis in the firearms example you indicated.
Well, that was a difficult one. Now, one of the things that has alcohol and tobacco and firearms together is a similarity in the statutory structure of all of those laws. It's how it all ended up in the same place in the Internal Revenue Service, for example. Each of the products is heavily taxed. Each of the products has a regulatory scheme that calls for licensing. And each of them have various controls on them from a regulatory fashion that the licensed businesses need to comply with. And they have a lot of criminal misuse issues surrounding them. So they all have those common themes, and it's how it ended up in the same agency. So from a technical point of view, the types of tasks being carried out under those laws were quite similar. But the philosophy behind each one of those laws and the purposes were different. And when I first came, there was a heavy emphasis on the alcohol work, that trying to translate that to having inspectors who had worked in alcohol plants to suddenly being going into firearms dealers, doing the same kind of work. But it's a very different thing of walking from a large alcohol plant or winery into a retail firearms business in terms of your sense of yourself as you're doing it. And that took a long time. It was a tough transition as I watched it happen. As a matter of fact, when I first came, we still had inspectors who were in distilled spirits plants with government locks on all the warehouses, and distilled spirits plants couldn't even take the distilled spirits they produced unless a government storekeeper would come and unlock the warehouse, let them have a certain quantity of liquor that would be measured at the time And then it would all be locked up again under government lock. So these were people who were working in this field suddenly dealing with issues surrounding firearms and explosives. It was a management challenge to figure out how to get your workforce retrained and reoriented towards new work. But all of that boiled down to, as much as anything, people issues in terms of training and development of people.
And one of the challenges might be the fact that there are several federal law enforcement agencies as well as many states that work closely with you. I wonder if you could talk about who they are and what those relationships are.
Probably almost every federal and state and local agency. ATF is in a position where the laws that we enforced, for example, the Gun Control Act, the actual title of that statute was the State Firearms Assistance Statute, because that's what it was designed to do, to put a federal overlay on top of state laws that basically requires dealers and others to comply with state laws. And we could deal with the interstate aspect of that. So anytime you're dealing with that kind of law, everything we're doing is basically trying to assist state and local enforcement authorities. But when firearms are involved, people rob banks with firearms, drug dealers use firearms, almost any other kind of crime, even at a federal level, is quite often going to involve firearms or explosives. So that requires us to work closely with a variety of other federal agencies as well. It's something that's part of ATF's culture. We have a saying that we have a history of partnerships that goes back even into the 50s, the old moonshine days. We've always had very close relationships with state and local agencies, and that's basically part of our standard operating business is getting along and assisting others.
A lot of federal agencies don't work well with other agencies. I'm wondering what the lessons learned are from your experience.
I would leave that judgment as to whether some of them do or don't to others. But I will say this. I think that in law enforcement and in government in general, the old paradigm was everybody had their responsibility and you could basically carry out your responsibilities and you didn't need other people to do it. But the world has become too complicated, too fast-moving. Everything is done too quickly and people can't operate in that environment anymore. So virtually the challenge of every law enforcement is to be able to get along with and cooperate with others. The only solution to that would be, for example, a national police force, and nobody believes that's the right direction for this country to go. So as long as we believe for a lot of reasons there shouldn't be a national police force, then that makes it all the more incumbent upon federal agencies to learn how to deal with each other and cooperate. And I'm very optimistic about how things are working in that area.
It's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.